the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
And we welcome you to the program. Here we go again, another hour. Best in money information is just ahead. And right now, guess what? Yeah, you got a chance to participate right along with us. The excitement. We've got more strategies for you. That's coming up this hour. We got more solutions. We got more bucket strategy investing. I'm Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, here with me from Lucia Capital Group. As always, if money is the issue, well, we'll be talking about it sometime this hour. Your emails, your phone calls, all that is just ahead. And we do have some lines open for you to call right now with your money questions. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. If you have a question on whatever it is, on retirement, maybe it's Social Security. We'll be talking about that later on today on our Social Security show. Maybe some product you've been advised to buy. Some of these annuities that we were talking about last week. Or any one of the many topics that we discuss on this show. Once again, the phone line, phone number, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Emails, we're going to get to a couple of those right here at the top of the hour to make sure we cover those. You send them to us here in the studio. It's wealthed.com, wealthed.com. You just go to where you see the Find Your Answer link there near the upper part of the page. Now, you've heard us say many, many times, everyone should have some kind of a retirement strategy. Now, we're serious about this, and this is why we remind you each day, a couple of times, that a good strategy is what makes your retirement work for you. It's one that fits your unique goals, your unique needs. You should give the people at Lucia Capital Group, give them a call. They bring us this hour of the program, and we thank them for that. They'll set you up with a bucket strategy all your own. If you don't know what it is, you can ask them about it. Talk to Professor Plummer, any of the advisors across the country at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. You can schedule an appointment with a Brain Trust member. Get yourself started on the right track to retirement, potentially. 800-644-1150. That's the number on the off the air. On the air, we do have lines open here at the top of the show, top of the hour. Give us a call, 877-PLANNER. P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. I want to get to some of this stuff in a little while. We were talking last hour about college savings, and people have questions on the free application for federal student aid, the FAFSA form. Tricky stuff. I won't do it here, but we'll do it later on in the hour. I was told there are more than 100 questions on that form.
It's been a little while since I filled it out. You know, I had to fill it out for about 10 years running.
Yeah,
even though I knew I wasn't going to get any financial aid for my kids to get the scholarships that they'd won through other areas, I had to fill out the form.
Well, you do what you do.
And I wanted those scholarships.
Last time I did it was, I think, 2006, I believe. 2006 or 7. Anyway, it's been a long time for me. But I'm told it's over 100 pages now. So
100 questions.
I'm sorry, 100 questions, yes.
Which, not 100 pages.
That's true. If it's one question per page. Anyway, we'll get to that later on. I want to do an email or two. I've had this here. Paul in Davis, California, was nice enough to send us an email. The only problem is it was kind of long, and I can't read all the numbers that were on here for our folks, because if you're watching or listening, you might get kind of lost. So I'm going to see Professor Plum. If I can encapsulate what it is he is asking here, because he does have some good questions. Now, he's got, as I understand it, one of these guaranteed monthly withdrawal benefit annuities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's asking these questions. If you don't really need the money, but you'll be taking about a $35,000 IRA distribution this year, when should you annuitize these annuities or take them from other sources? His question, I guess, is asking about, and he gives an example here. He has a guaranteed monthly withdrawal benefit, $440,000 in this annuity.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender value is $350,000, and there's a death benefit on it of $392,000. He wants to know, when does it make sense to take advantage of the $440,000? In other words, the roll-ups that they give you.
Yeah.
Yes. Or does he start taking a distribution from his short duration bond funds?
Well, we have to take a look at the annuity itself and evaluate what's going on with it. You said you don't need the income. So you've bought a product that you don't need, either because other things have come into play or because you bought the wrong product. I mean, it happens. So now the question is, should we keep this annuity? The only reason to keep a guaranteed withdrawal benefit annuity, once you get past 65 or so, is to use the income. And if the income isn't worth it, then let's get rid of the annuity, quit paying the fees that are involved in the annuity, and move on to something else, because we can move on to something else. So now we have to evaluate, how much is that income stream worth? You have an income base. In this case, he said the income base was $440,000. And that would create a distribution, a guaranteed distribution, for the rest of the individual's life, maybe the rest of his life and his wife's life. So let's take a look at what that value, what the value of that income stream is. Obviously, if they're much older and they're in their 80s already, the income stream isn't worth all that much, because it's not going to last that long, because unfortunately, they're already in their 80s. It can only last 5, 10, 15 years maybe, unless you tell me for sure that they're going to make it to 105. So we have to look at a reasonable time period and evaluate what that income is really worth. Is the income base worth maintaining? If we're 65 years old and we have great longevity, we can take a look at the income, do a quick present value calculation, and say, you know what, that income stream is worth $400,000. But if I cash it in, it's only worth $350,000, because he said the surrender value was $350,000. So in that respect, the income stream is worth more than the surrender value. On the other side, if the income stream is only worth $250,000, because we don't have a really long life expectancy, but the cash value, surrender value right now is $350,000, it'd be better to cash it in and take the $350,000 and redeploy that $350,000 somewhere else, because we're really not getting anything from that income stream.
So how do you make the decision then?
We take a look at age that they are now, life expectancy of the benefit. Remember, if it's a joint life expectancy, we have to look at the longer of the two of them. How long might this income last? And then make some assumptions. The first one, he very clearly stated, we don't need the money. This is not about the money, the income, the guaranteed income. And so that's the first thing. If you need the guaranteed income, the whole reason you buy a guaranteed withdrawal benefit annuity or guaranteed income annuity is because you want guaranteed income. And so let's use it. So I would say, if the income base is worth it, if the income that you're going to get from it is better than the surrender value on a net present value standpoint, turn the income on from the annuity right away.
Now, from the earlier part of the email, this is for his dad, I guess. Dad is 70 years old.
Okay, I didn't see that part.
Because I didn't read it to you. I should have. I should.
So he's 70. I wouldn't wait much longer. I'd make that evaluation today, because these income annuities, the insurance companies are very good at marketing. And they make it look like if you wait, that 440 is going to go to 450. It's going to go to 460. That, if you wait long enough, that 440 will go to $800,000 or some incredible number. But that number isn't a real number. It's only used to determine the annual payout that you can receive. And if you wait until 95 to turn it on, how many annual payouts are you going to get? Not that many. So we have to evaluate it not on that number as a number. The 440 really doesn't mean anything. The 440 is used in this case to determine how much income I can take. Now we have to make a guess. We have to make an assumption. How long will that income last? And this do a math calculation. But realistically, you should be turning these on before you're 70. 70, 71 at the latest. Don't wait until 80, 85 to turn them on. You just don't get enough income boost out of it. Now, the insurance companies want you to wait until 80, 85 to turn them on. Why? Because they're charging you a fee for every year that you wait. The whole time this is in place, they're charging you a fee.
Oh, but the income base is going up by greater than that.
Right,
sure.
But the odds of you ever exhausting your cash value. Because remember, when you start taking money out of one of these contracts, you're taking it out of your cash first. And the insurance company's only on the hook if your cash value runs to zero. Now, once my cash value runs to zero, now the insurance company is actually writing a check out of their general funds, because they guaranteed to continue the payment. If the payment that I'm expected to receive is not expected to deplete the cash value, the insurance company will never have to pay an actual claim on it. So the longer they can get you to wait to take the income, the better it is for them. They charge you a fee longer, and the less likely they will ever have to write a check out of their own pocket. It will only come out of your pocket for the period of time. Now, the sooner you can turn it on. Now, realistically, you can't turn them on too early, because the payouts are too low. But right in that 65 to 70 range is the best time to start turning these on. He's at 70, so now's the time to make the decision. Either turn the income on and live on that income for the rest of your life, or reinvest it, do whatever you want to do with it, or cancel the contract, take the cash value and reinvest it somewhere else.
So what happens if for some reason he starts taking it at age 70 and then, you know, he dies somehow at age 74?
Whatever the cash value is
that
left.
Will be.
So he's got $350,000.
Yeah.
At age 70, there's 440, he said it's 440 in the base.
Yes.
Let's say he can get a 6% payout. So he's going to take $26,400 out of it. Now, I'm not sure which contract he has, but many of them are in this 5 to 6% range. So let's go on the better side.
Okay.
So he has $26,400 guaranteed for the rest of his life.
He takes four payments. Let's say he's taken $100,000 out of it. Now.
Right. And he earned absolutely nothing. He earned enough to cover the fees, but nothing else. His $350 went to $250. The heirs get $250.
The heirs get $250.
His $350 in cash value went to $250 because he's taking the money out of his cash value.
The whole point is you got to live long enough so that your money runs out and the insurance company's on the hook. Then your real rate of return starts.
Yep.
All right, 877-PLANNER. Paul, I hope that helps you out. We gave you as much information as we could. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, more Market Strategy Investing when we return. Market Strategy Investing, that's the program. 877-PLANNER, that's the number. The only thing that's missing is your phone calls. So give us a call, 877-752-6637. I mentioned we have a full bank of phone lines open right now. Lost a couple of people during the break, so give us a call back. But if you weren't on the line, give us a call now, and we will talk to you about your money. Speaking of talking to you about your money, a big part of your retirement plan, in fact, it's a big part of most people's retirement plans, is Social Security. And it is something we talk about a lot on the show, so much so, in fact, that it spills over into another show, which happens on Tuesdays. And since today is, if you're watching live or listening live, it's today's Tuesday, you will find another edition of the Social Security Show with me, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's at wealthed.com, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Your questions are answered. We take phone calls, a recorded line, a hotline. You can call that, leave your question that way. We will answer those questions on the show, as long as you leave us enough information. We'll also answer your emails, which come to us at wealthed.com. And we talk about strategy, too, all kinds of strategies with regard to Social Security. And this is what we talk about on the program. So, once again, Tuesdays, today included, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern. It's the Social Security Show, only at wealthed.com. Our phone lines, yes, open, 877-PLANNER. Email, let's get to a couple of these before the bottom of the hour. Betty in Penn Valley, California. As the owner of my company, I'm also the administrator of my company's 401k. The past advisor sold the company, and I need a new advisory to help me with record keeping, tax reporting. I'm also close to retirement age and currently the only plan participant. Are there other options?
Other options for what?
I don't know. I'm saying options for...
Well, if you're not going to do the record keeping, the tax reporting, and all the other issues, then you're going to need to hire somebody to do it. You could use an accounting firm. You can use a third-party administrator, somebody who specializes in accounting for pension plans. I think that'd probably be the best thing. Or you can get with an attorney and cancel, terminate the plan, and then just roll it to an IRA and be done with the business. Are you close to retirement? I'm close to retirement
age.
How many more years do you want to contribute? If it's more of a hassle to maintain it than to contribute to it, terminate it. Roll it down. Get rid of it. If you still like the tax deduction, you still want to accumulate some money on a tax-deferred basis, then keep it open and get somebody that can help you. Talk to whoever does your taxes. Get a referral in your area for a good actuary, or if it's not a defined benefit plan, just a good third-party administrator that specializes in keeping track and making sure that you file all the appropriate forms, dot all the T's, cross all the I's, whatever it takes, and get it done.
Or you could cross the T's. See, that'd be my problem. I wouldn't. You said to dot the T's.
I know what I said.
So that would be me, because, you know, if I'm running a business, and maybe you run into this a lot too, where you see business owners who know back and forth the business that they're in.
But they don't know the other side of it.
Or it's electrician or whatever it is. But all this other stuff, you know, they have to wind up hiring people. They got to wind up hiring employees because they're so good at what they do. And they wind up, you know, having to do payroll and things that they know absolutely nothing about. And in her case, you know, she had somebody doing this, some advisory team.
Well, and she had an advisor who, it says the advisor sold their company, I'm assuming their company.
Yes.
So they're no longer doing, so that relationship they had with the individual is not there, but the company's still there. So unless you just don't like the people that bought the company, it sounds like the company is, you know, if somebody bought it, somebody's going to continue to run it. And hopefully they have the expertise that you're looking for. You could start there if you like the people that took over the business. Just because that one individual sold the business and retired doesn't mean that the people that bought it are bad people. I mean, doesn't mean they're good people. Just doesn't. It's a place to start, though.
Yeah, I know, and I've seen it both ways. I've known people who've run businesses. One in particular who ran this person, he knew all about dairies and how they work and all that stuff. Knew nothing about the financial end of it, but his wife somehow managed to know everything. Went in and got it done. There are other people who are on the other side who just say, you know, I don't know anything about this, and the business wind up either failing or in a lot of trouble, not because they weren't doing the right work, and not because they didn't have enough a business coming in, was because they didn't understand the financial aspect of it. They didn't understand how to plan for things. Mm-hmm. Didn't understand how the taxes work. Do you see this a lot? Because you meet with people all the time.
Well, everybody has their own expertise. I mean, they have. It's rare that you find somebody with everything that can do everything all, and do it all well, and has the
right
time. There are people that can do a lot of things well. The question is, do they have the time to do it all well?
And they're probably not if their business is successful.
Right. So let's let you focus on what you do best and maybe hire the areas that you don't do as well or don't want to do. I mean, there are times where some people can do it very well. They just don't like that portion of it. They're good at it. They just don't like it. Fine. Hire that out. Get somebody that can do it, that is good at it, that does like to do it, and can do it and add value to you and over your overall team. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there are those that try to do everything because I can do that. I can do that. And this is why I'm at home. It's why I don't get a lot of my landscaping things done, because I can do that. I just don't seem to find the time. Yes, I can run irrigation lines and sprinklers, and I can, you know, map out the coverages and do the things. I just don't have the time to do it, so it doesn't get done.
So, if you did, you could do it.
I can do it, and I hate paying somebody to do something I can do. But it.
But then everything else wouldn't get done.
But the fact that we're waiting for me to do it means it's
it
not done.
Get done.
My yard is not done.
I've seen this. A guy that I knew very very well. He was a police detective, and he was an excellent one. And after several, I think it was 20 plus years. As a reward for doing so well, and he was getting up there, you know, you get into your mid-50s, you don't really want to be out necessarily.
Chasing down the
right,
bad guys.
Right, so as a reward, they put him in charge of the department. And what the charge of the department person does, they work on budgets, they work on personnel, they work on agents.
Stuff he'd never done before.
No, and he says, well, wait a minute, this is awful. And he says, what am I supposed to do? I'm spend the next 5 years of my life doing this? He says, if I need an advisor, I can't make heads or tails out of this.
So he had to hire somebody to do the job he was hired to do.
Almost, exactly. He worked for municipalities who couldn't do that. But
yeah,
that's exactly the kind of thing that you run into.
But, you know, there's two sides of it. Either you're thrust into an area by, you know, you graduate into an area that, well, you really don't want to do, but you were so good at the other thing, they figured you could do it. Or you're like me and you can do it. You just don't have the time to do it.
Okay, so what should a business owner do? A small business owner, they know their stuff. Do they go to a financial advisor and say, "Help me, tell me everything I need to do"?
Well,
do you have to hire a team of people?
It depends on what you're trying to get accomplished. I mean, the first thing you need, in many cases, is a bookkeeper. I mean, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now it depends on the size of the business things. So you've got to look at what is it that is failing right now. Is it my record keeping? Does my accountant basically shut the door when I walk in with the basket of receipts and say, "Figure this out"? You know, and so they're running from me because
that would be me.
You know, and because the taxes should be fairly easy with the computers the way they are now. The record keeping system—if you keep track of your books—it downloads into the computer software for tax reporting very easily. If you do it along the way, doing it all at the end of the year is death to a lot of tax returns. And a lot of things get overlooked. So find out what it is. If you don't like doing the taxes, hire somebody to do it. If you don't like doing the investment, or you do like it, but you just find that you don't have the time to do it, kind of like what I was describing, find somebody to help you do the areas that you either don't want to do, can't do, or don't seem to find the time to do. Make sure it gets done, though.
Yeah, and it sounds self-serving for us to talk about this, but this is why we do this. Have a competent advisor look over your stuff. You know, once a year, have them go over your tax situation. A couple of times a year, go over your goals, go over your individual needs. This is what I need. You don't have to be a business owner. Just anybody who is doing financial planning. It's not an easy thing to do for yourself. It's best to talk to somebody who's seen all the scenarios and know what the pitfalls are. And believe me, there are a lot of them. Okay, we're going to take more of your emails. We're going to try to get in some of the stuff on the FAFSA form that we were talking about earlier. 877-PLANNER, lines are open. Give us a call. Questions asked and answered when we come. Market strategy investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're here till the top of the hour, so get the phone calls in right now. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. You've got money questions, and we'll answer them right here on the show live for you. Now, you can also get your money questions answered in person. What a deal this is going to be. Once again, the Retirement Income Strategies Workshops are continuing for 2016. Lucia Capital Group putting these on as we do every single year and have for many, many years. It's starting February 20th. All right, we're about a month away, a little over a month away in Las Vegas, Nevada, but write it down. And if you'd just rather get it done and sign up, I think you should, you go to wealthed.com, wealthed.com. So Las Vegas, that'll be happening Saturday morning, February 20th. Professor Plum and Terry Keyes will be there in Las Vegas, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Seattle is the following week, February 27th. And then looking into March, we got Phoenix, Arizona. Those are the next three, Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix. And there will be more after that into April. So if you're you didn't hear your city right there, check wealthed.com to find out if we're going to be somewhere near you. I would suggest if we're anywhere within a, let's call it, a 1,000-mile radius of wherever you live, come join the Brain Trust. I'll tell you it's worth it. All right? And I've been to many of these. I know that. You have to decide that for
You've
yourself.
Been to many, but people still ask, where's John? Where's
I
John?
I know, yeah, I know. Somebody's got to hold the fort down here. It's been a while since I've gone, but, yeah, you know. What do you need me for? You got you.
I didn't say we need you. I said people asked.
So what you do when they ask, you tell them, well, we don't really need him here.
I said, we're not playing music.
That's right. He's just so much dead weight. You know, he's just the host of the show.
The answer is his wife wouldn't let him come.
Okay,
that's what
right.
I say.
Okay, wouldn't let me join the Brain Trust. Yeah. All right, because weekends are family time. Is that what it is? No, I'm kidding. actually, it's a lot of fun. So join the Brain Trust. Once again, you go to wealthed.com. Okay, again, our number 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. A couple of lines open right now. Before we take some calls, I want to mention, too, we were talking about these on our previous email, Paul in Davis, California, talking about these guaranteed monthly withdrawal benefit annuities.
Right.
I want to make sure that we are clear that there's nothing inherently wrong with any of these products.
But they do have a specific purpose, and there's a certain set of characteristics that you need to have or needs that you need to have before you should even consider one.
Yes.
Primarily, longevity. Longevity. If you don't have longevity, these annuity contracts don't work out in your favor. You need to have at least a normal to better than normal life expectancy to make these a viable option. So if you don't have the family history or you're old enough that you don't have a huge longevity left, they're not appropriate. The other side of it is you need to want, there is a desire to have a need or a want for guaranteed fixed income that won't change throughout the remainder of your life. It also won't change for inflation. Once you start them, they're unlikely to go up at all. So once you start these income payments, it is the income payment. And there are reasons to have guaranteed income. Then in our emailer
exactly.
sense, he said we don't need the income. It's not important to have this guaranteed income. And so there's no reason to have a guaranteed income product if I have no need for guaranteed income. They are expensive. They cost money. You have to pay for that guarantee. Whether it's on an index chassis or a variable annuity chassis, there is an internal fee, either direct that you can see or built into the crediting rate that they're going to give you on the interest. It's the insurance companies don't do things for free. Okay, let's be real about that. So if you don't need the income, don't pay the fee for it. But if you have one of these now, it's time to evaluate when should I turn on that income stream.
Yeah. Now,
the best time to turn it on is between 65 and 70.
Okay. So, as long as we're talking about it, you have one of these guaranteed monthly withdrawal benefit annuities, and let's say that it fits you before age 65 or after age 70. What you're saying is, in general,
Before age 65, generally the percentage that they're going to pay you, the payment is lower, and it isn't worth turning it on before that.
Is it because the whole idea is for you to live long enough where to where they paid you all of your own money back and now they've got to start digging into their own pockets to pay you.
Well, the advantage, I mean, the goal is that the underlying investment does better than what you're taking out, and you end up with more money than you started with. That's unlikely, very unlikely. But the whole idea is that it allows you to maintain a cash position, either invested in a guaranteed account, such as an indexed account that could potentially earn some interest, or a variable account that doesn't have a guarantee of principal, but it gives me the ability to potentially receive some market-type returns, less the fees, and grow, or at least have something left over. But if the worst thing happens and everything goes to heck in a handbasket, my income is guaranteed forever. I cannot outlive the income. So I have kind of my cake and eat it too. I can stay invested, and I can, in many contracts, stay very aggressively invested and hope that I do very, very well. But if I don't, and everything crumbles around me from an investment standpoint, I still have my income. I can't lose the income that's guaranteed by that guaranteed income base, as long as I live up to all the different, you know, requirements of the contract. So it gives me a little bit of a baseline income, get me a nice sleep at night factor, but I can still play the market in some degrees, you know, through the underlying sub accounts that they offer. And that's one thing when we do look at these types of products, several of the products came out and said, you know what, if we do have a market crash, the insurance company takes over your investments. And they say, we're going to move you to very safe investments. Because, and they market it so that it, isn't that what you want to do when the market's crashing? You want to move to very safe? Well, I'd like to move to very safe before the market crashes, not after it crashes. After it crashes, I'd like to stay aggressive to try to earn back some of it. But the insurance company does it and moves it to, not all of them, but some, moves it to a very safe allocation, not to protect you, to protect them. Because
they're on the hook.
They're on the hook. If this thing does go to zero, they've got to start writing checks out of their general account, and they don't like paying claims.
Have you ever dealt with one where you actually, you had insurance on your home, and it's supposed to be covered in the event of a disaster? And
luckily, I've never had to make a claim on my home.
Well, I haven't insurance. Either, but there are people who have and said, okay, I've been paying all these premiums. I would like to be paid now. They say, No. We're going to take it to court.
Well, and what we're seeing, or what we have seen over the past several years, are people that bought these kinds of products in 2005, 6, 7, that had actually more generous payouts than the ones that are being issued today. And then the cash value just cratered in 2008. And so they've got this high income base. They've got a high income being paid out and a low cash value. That cash value is going to go to zero pretty soon because of the 2008 downturn. The insurance companies are looking at this going, these didn't last anywhere near as long as we expected, and we're going to have to start paying out benefits out of our own pocket a lot sooner than we expected. They're sending letters out to these people saying, you know what? We will enhance your cash value if you go away. It was like,
in other words, they're going to pay you off.
They're going to try to buy you out for something lesser than what you've got.
They're going to give you a lump sum rather than take an annuity.
Right, a lump sum that's higher than your current cash value, but less than the actual potential value of that income stream of payments, because they want off the hook.
Unbelievable. Well, okay, but you know, I guess you got to give them credit for trying.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the business to make money, and that's what
they're cutting their losses. They're trying to, at least.
Exactly. I've said this many times. I like the idea of a guaranteed income. Now, why wouldn't somebody? We're talking about there are a whole bunch of different types of products. These are annuities that we're mentioning.
Yes.
These are more on the variable.
Because
chassis.
They have the guarantees.
Right.
From an insurance company.
Exactly. These are more the variable chassis. Is this what we're
variable
talking
or
about?
Index annuity chassis?
Okay, but either one, you can get this guaranteed monthly. Why would somebody who's got a guarantee that their income is coming in, why would they not want to just, you know, shake the dice and roll it and just try to go for it?
Well, some people don't like seeing the big declines in the account value. Even if they know they have the income set, they don't like seeing the big decline because they're hoping that there may be something left over when they die to leave on to the kids.
Is that the only reason? I mean, if
that's pretty much the only reason
because
that I can come up
if
with.
If you're out of cash value and the insurance company is out of their own pocket having to pay you, once you're gone,
everything stops.
Everybody's out of the game.
Yes.
Everyone out of the pool.
Insurance company, once you and or your spouse, if you have a joint life rider, are gone, the income rider stops. And whatever the cash value is left is what goes to the heirs. If there's no cash value left, nothing goes to the heirs. But the insurance company is no longer on the hook to pay anything out because you died. Or
right.
the lives that they cover died.
So,
they're done.
So if you care about your heirs, you may not necessarily want to. I've just heard of people who...
Well, actually, the studies have shown that if you care about your heirs, that having these types of products can actually enhance the legacy assets, because what it does is it helps you become a better investor. Not that this one investment is going to be bigger and when you die, but it helps you not panic and sell out of other investments. It helps you be less emotional with the other investments, not this one, because you've got your income set. When the market crashed in 2008, if you've got enough income to make all your bills, you're less worried about your portfolio, and you didn't sell out, and you allowed it to come back and gain ground again, rather than worrying about it, selling off in 2009, and never getting back into the market and locking in your losses. So from a legacy standpoint, the behavioral finance studies have shown that having guaranteed income helps those other legacy assets.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I know that having guaranteed income can certainly take some of the pressure off some of you having
it to... It makes you less emotional about the market.
Because you don't feel like you got to hit a home run this month.
Because you know you got your check every month.
Good thinking. Excellent point. All right. Well, we got some room on the phone. So if you have any questions, we got another segment. We got some trivia coming up and more of your emails. But we'll take your phone calls first. So give us a call right now. Ask your money question, comment, whatever it is. 877-PLANNER is our number. PLANNER. 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, standing by, taking your calls. 877-PLANNER, as I said, we got some room on the phones, just a little bit of time to talk with you. Now, coming up tomorrow on this very program, as if I'd tell you what's coming up on some other program. Of course it's coming up on this show. We're going to be talking about something called asset location. Asset location. You've heard of asset allocation. Well, asset location is a part of that, or at least it should go hand in hand with something called asset allocation. Everybody wants to tell you how much you should have in each individual sector, is what they say, right? You have stocks, bonds, and cash. That's what we hear. Stocks, bonds, and cash, or equities and safety, whatever it is. Fine. There's more to it than that. But what about once you've decided how much should be allocated? Then you got to find out where should those assets be located. And we'll tell you what we mean by that tomorrow. But it's important stuff, as is everything that we talk about on this show. It has to do with your retirement, and it has to do with your portfolio. So tune in tomorrow, would you? Right here. Also, maybe what to tell you what to do once the once your lottery ticket hits.
We'll talk
about that tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, big pull.
Did we hit $1.5 billion? What was it again?
I don't know the number right now.
But
I would imagine when they get this large, they grow pretty quickly because everybody wants their piece of the pie.
They grow exponentially almost. I think it just keeps feeding on itself. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. But
can you imagine having to write a check for $500 million? For taxes?
Actually, I don't think...
Well, you wouldn't write a check.
Well, it wouldn't be quite that high. What they would do is take... They're going to withhold like 25%.
Yeah, up front.
And then you're going to owe probably another 15% if you happen to be the only winner, which I don't think will happen. But it's still going to be roughly $120-some-odd million. I would gladly do that.
And I'll write the check.
I would write... This is what would be fun. You know, I win this. I'm not even played. But if I did...
Yeah, and you got to play first.
And I go to the IRS, and I would take my checkbook that I've had, you know, for all these years, one of my original checkbooks, and I think it's the same account number from a bank from, you know, I don't even know if it still exists. I would write it out and take a picture of it and say, here it is, first time I ever wrote a $120
million check.
Actually, that's not true. I did this for my wife one time on her birthday.
$120 million check?
I think I wrote her a $100 million check.
And how far did that thing bounce?
She knew enough not to try to cash it. But I said, just as a little extra spending money, I put it inside. I just thought that was funny. She laughed, too.
And she thought it was funny, too. Good.
Usually she tells me, shut up, you're not funny. But she actually thought that was stupid. I mean, that was funny. I'm so used to saying that right there. Try it sometime. Write your wife, you know, a check. Here's a little extra spending
I don't
money.
Even have a checkbook to write out anymore. I don't write checks.
Yeah, I haven't written a check in a long time. Couldn't tell you. Trivia for today, as the hour ticks along. This comes from BTN Research, and we thank them, a leading source of our trivia on this program. The top performing stock in the S&P 500 in 2013.
Which was a very good year for the S&P
500. It was a very good year. That's right. Based on a 298% gain for the year, was ranked, guess where? number 430 out of 500 stocks in 2014 while losing 7%. So it did so well in 2013.
It had to give something back.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine everybody started jumping on that bandwagon. I didn't even look to see what it was.
So we were talking about the best performing stocks in the S&P 500 from 14 to 15.
Yeah.
And some people thought it was just an anomaly that it happened that year. No, it happens pretty much every year. The best performing stock of 13 didn't do so well in 14. The best performing stock of 14 didn't do so well in 15. And in fact, some of the worst performing stocks in 14 of the S&P 500 did fairly well in 2015. It just goes to show it's really tough to pick those winners.
It is tough to pick those winners. I mean, who would have said, you know, you pick one of the bottom quartile stocks, you say this is going to be the one that well-respected money magazine or blogger or journalist is going to come out and say, the one you should pick is the one that lost 14% last year or whatever it is. I just don't see it. And unfortunately, those are the ones that can do better.
And just because one's up a lot one year doesn't mean it's going to be down the next year. It could be up again the next year.
No, and so why is that? How come these idiotic predictors, I know it's space filling on magazines and things like that. Financial magazines did it a lot, but journalists do this too. And they say, based on everything I've seen, this stock was up 15-20% last year. It is poised for even more greatness next year. I like to have those in my portfolio for next year. Why?
Sure. I mean, well, because they get paid for the words, I guess.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
And just because a stock is down, or an investment, I should say, not necessarily a stock, is down. Heck, one of the best times to have bought any type of growth investment was back in March of 2009 when everybody was running for the exit. That was the best time to get in.
All right, I want to get this email in. Tony in Buckley, Washington. I'm not sure. I think you can answer this, Professor, but we'll see. I listened to the replay of your show on the radio station while driving home from work. I heard you talk about the family law or whatever it was.
Well, he said familial.
Familial. Okay, yeah. But.
Well, and that's important to do that because it's what he's talking about here is not familial law. It's
right.
Filial. F-I-L-I-A-L.
Yeah, that's true. If I understood it correctly, the government can go after children if the government has to pay for parents' long-term care in a nursing home. I've Googled the term and can only come up with renter's laws. Where can I find out more about what we'll call filial law? F-I-L-I-A-L. It's called filial.
They're called filial responsibility laws, not familial, even though it does go down family lines. And it's not the federal government. The federal government can't come after the kids unless they can show an improper transfer to the kids during the period of time in the look-back period and things of that nature. This is where somebody has racked up a large bill at a nursing home that's not covered by government aid, or it's for states to deal with. Now, more than half of the states across the union have filial responsibility laws, which do allow a company to or a state to go after relatives down the line of somebody who's racked up a big bill. The reality, though, is that most states don't enforce these laws. It's very difficult for them to enforce these laws. And it's a very small subset because most people do at some point qualify for Medicaid. And once Medicaid's involved, then the filial laws pretty much go out the window. Now, what's got a lot of people talking about this right now is that in 2012, there was a Pennsylvania case that did go through and go after a kid.
And that's why it came up.
And so that's what's got everybody running scared. And the larger the price and of the long-term care, the more that you're probably going to see states try to do things like this. And it's basically allowing the nursing home to go after them, not the state.
There's more to say on this, but we are out of time. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, you want to talk to Professor Plum, any of the advisors across the country from Lucia Capital Group, talk to them at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.